Okay, good morning. So here we are again. I was hoping that when they asked me to speak a couple of weeks ago, then it would be a one-time thing, and we wouldn't be needing chizuk at this point. We would all be very strong, and we would have already been past this particular episode. But as we know, sometimes processes move at speeds which are not necessarily to our liking, and therefore there seems to be a little bit more, and obviously our first concern right now is with our soldiers and with our civilians and with all of the people who live over here. And I'm going to add another thing, which obviously some people will agree and some people will disagree. But if not, you know, if I can't get you upset, then what's the purpose of all of this? And that is that we're also concerned about the people on the other side as well. We don't want bloodshed. We don't want people to die. We want to protect ourselves. And when it comes to protecting our lives, sometimes, unfortunately, especially when we have an enemy which lacks morality and hides behind children, we do quite the opposite. We protect our children. And I'm not going to say things which are almost cliches because all of us know them. But instead, what I want to do is to take a look and to see something in this week's parsha, which I think should speak to all of us. And also, it should hopefully answer a question which sometimes we seem to lack clarity on. So let's start with the question. The question is, why does God choose Abraham? Which means there are lots and lots of people who lived in antiquity. And to make the question a little bit stronger, when we first meet Abraham, we're not told anything which is exceptional about Abraham. Yes, we have Midrashim, and yes, we have traditions, and yes, we know other things about Abraham. But the Torah itself doesn't share any of those. The Torah itself doesn't give us any kind of inkling as to why Abraham is chosen, at least not initially, which means in Parsha Lech Lecha, we don't find it. But there is a pasuk in this week's Parsha, which is in a surprising place, and if you don't know it, then you could easily have missed it. And it's particularly that verse, that pasuk, which I want to look at. As the people who came to visit Avraham leave, it says, "V'yikumu misham anashim, v'yishkifu al pnei sdom, v'avraham halech imam l'shelcham." So over here, we have a little bit of what we can call foreshadowing. The people get up, leave Avraham, and they take a glance at stone. So yeah, it's perfect. The next verse is Hashem Amar, and notice it's Hashem Yudke Vovke Midata Rachamim, which is interesting. And God says, "Machaseni me Avram Asher Niyosa." Will I hide from Avram that which I'm doing? For Avram Yoyel Goy Godol VeAtzum VeNivruchu Bo Kol Goy Aretz. Avram is going to become so important, so influential. How can I hide from Avram? Kiyadativ, this is the verse. This is the one which is important. Kiyadativ, because I know, Lemana Sher Yitzaveh et Banav et Beito Acharav, that Avram, because he is going to command his children and his household and his followers after him, Vishamru Derech Hashem, they're going to follow the way of God, Lasot Tzedaka Umishpat, to do Tzedaka Umishpat. We can translate Tzedaka as charity, we can understand it, as righteous behavior. Mishpat is a legal behavior. L'man avi Hashem alav v'meit asher diber alav. And therefore God will speak. So now we have the answer why God chose Avram, because Avram somehow is going to combine within him two things which are almost impossible to combine. One is tzedaka and the other is Mishpat. And then it continues and it says that God says that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah are in front of him and they're full of sins and so on, which shouldn't surprise us because we already heard this previously. We heard back in Perek Yud Gimel that Anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem ha'od, that these are people that are very, very sinful, very bad and very sinful. We heard earlier, maybe this will say something to us specifically today, at this point in history, back in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Tet, when Sodom and Gomorrah are introduced, it's in the same verse with Aza. So you could take a look at Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Tet. So how exactly does Avram combine these two things, Sakan Mishpat? So there is a source which is found in Avot Rebbe Natan, Aleph Perek Lamed Gimel. And what it says over there is how Avram combined them. And it says that when two people would come to Avraham, and they had an argument, they had a disagreement. V'lo od, el shay Avram avinu oset tzedakah t'chila v'achar kar mishpat. So what would happen? Shenema ki yadativ ki leman asher yitzavet banav bitoach rabbi shmo derech Hashem lasot tzedakah mishpat, and quoted our verse. So it says, v'zman sheshnei bali dinim bayin lefnei Avram Avinu ladin. Two people came to adjudicate a problem. V'amar echad al chaveru zechayav li mana. And one would say, this guy owes me money. Haya Avram Avinu motzi mane mishelo v'noten lo. V'amar lahem stu dineichem lefanai. One guy said to the other, this guy owes me money. Avram would take the money and give it to the litigant and say, here, here's some money. Then he would say, come and listen to the case. And if he found that person guilty, he would say, okay, give him the money I just now gave you. So therefore, Avraham did both mishpat, ten what's fair, and staka. I want to mention something specifically in this context. There was a great rabbi in Europe who, I don't know how well-known he is today, and if he is well-known today, it's because of a particular descendant. His name was Rabbi Eliyahu Halevi Feinstein, Rabbi Elia from Prujan. Now, I'll just tell you the following. My mother's family came from Prujan, and my grandfather knew him, Rabbi Elia. And Rabbi Elia had a number of very famous relatives. First of all, he had a brother-in-law who was named David Feinstein, who was Moshe Feinstein's father. It was a case where a Feinstein married a Feinstein. One was a Levi, one wasn't a Levi. And he had a daughter, Pesha, who married somebody named Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So this Pesha is Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother. So had Rabbi Soloveitchik not had such a famous paternal grandfather, Reb Chaim, I think more of us would have known about the other one, because the other one, Reb Elia, was worthy to have been, I mean, he was one of the Gedolei Hador. When the two fathers met and they discussed the Shidduch, Reb Chaim asked, Reb Elia, does your daughter know Chumash? And he said, you can test her on a Hazinu, which is one of the harder parshiot. Reb Chaim later said about Pesha, had she been a man, she would have been one of the great Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. And Reb Chaim was asked, does your son Moshe, does he know how to learn? And Reb Chaim said, he knows how to learn better than I know how to learn. And later Reb Elia agreed that Reb Moshe did. By the way, they always in the Soloveitchik family honored their children. Reb Moshe thought that his son knew how to learn better than the father knew how to learn. But we'll continue with our story. A number of years ago, I'm talking way over, around 40 years ago, one of Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandsons found out that my grandfather had known Rebellion, and he said, can I meet him? Can I come meet him? So he came over, he sat with my grandfather, and he said, no, tell me about Rebellion. So my grandfather said, I'll tell you, this is what he did. And this goes exactly to our point at Staka and Mishpat. He said that if ever a person came over to him with a chicken, you know, in the old days, that's what rabbis did. They looked at the chickens. Is the chicken kosher? Is it not kosher? Is there a problem? Not. He said that whenever somebody would come with the chicken, if Rabbi Elia thought it wasn't kosher, he would give him the money for the chicken. He would pay him. He would buy the non-kosher chicken from the fellow, or from the woman, or whatever the case was. And that's what my grandfather remembered. My grandfather didn't remember any chidushim, he didn't remember any speeches, he didn't remember. But he remembered that, he said, Rebellion was a tzaddik. But don't we realize that is the behavior of Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was this incredible person who can combine together tzedaka and mishpat. And I want to now use this to discuss exactly where we are right now. One of the things which is emerging out of the last 3 weeks are amounts and acts of chesed, which are absolutely unbelievable. I can spend the next couple of hours just on stories that I've heard and I've seen and that I'm aware of, and my suspicion is I don't have to, because I think all of you have heard these stories as well. There's one particular one that I will mention, that a woman down south in Ofakim, and a young woman, 17 years old, said, you know, there's war going on, you know, do you need help with your kid? You know, we're running a party for kids in one of the bomb shelters. They brought a clown and they brought pizza and they entertained the kids to give the kids something to do for a couple of hours. And she came, picked the kid up, and then she brought the kid back. And afterwards, somebody mentioned to the mother. He goes, that girl, that 17-year-old girl, she just got up from Shiva. She lost her father and her brother in the events of October 7th. And her response to all of this is not one of hatred, is one of love, is not one... This is Avram Avinu. This is Sarah Imenu. This is where we come from. Which means our actions of chesed are what are going to protect all of our soldiers, together with the Yiryat Shemayim and their dedication to protect Am Yisrael. And the actions that have been taking place have been absolutely beyond people's imaginations. And some people, it's an incredible amount of money. And some people, it's just themselves. It's their heart. It's the hearts which are overflowing with concern. It's hearts which are overflowing with love for our people. Which means if we were in a situation 1 month ago, and I remember on Sukkot even, sitting in my Sukkah, people were talking about the protests and people were talking about the two different sides and how and so on and so forth. And very quickly, there weren't two different sides. And again, I could tell you certain things. One of the groups that was the biggest protest, they raised the most amount of money to bring arms over for the soldiers. I'm not going to go into any details, but I know this as a fact. Because people on my block raised over $1 million and distributed all kinds of things that soldiers need. And by the way, that's for some people that could be a very large amount of money. For me, it certainly is. And these people work, and they work day and night, because how can we leave our soldiers in a sense if we can get them better equipment, if we can take care of them a little bit better? But it wasn't just the equipment; it's also the food and the people that are going down, and the entertainers and everything else. But what we have to do is that we have to feel in our hearts, we have to daven, we have to say Tehillim, we have to learn Torah, we have to do chesed, and we have to do more chesed, and we have to do more chesed. Because here we heard it, the reason God chooses Avram Avinu is our combination of doing tzedakah together with mishpat. We need to fight because of mishpat. We need to fight because of what is right. We need to do certain things over there because something really, really wrong happened. And if you think about it, there's a point over here which is much sharper, which I haven't said yet clearly. A number of years ago, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of Corona, I wrote a book, right? Everybody else sitting home with nothing to do. So every week I was writing the Parsha. And I was thinking as I'm writing it, this is going to be the most depressing book imaginable. Because who in the world's going to... I mean, because I wrote it coming from a certain mental place and coming from a certain space. Again, what kind of limited impact this book is going to have? And of course, when we got to this year of Bereshit, I told people, you know what? You can read Bereshit from what I wrote there. When we get to Noach, you can read what I wrote in Noach. Get to Lech Lech, get to Vayera. Every single word I've written in those parashiyot are absolutely meaningful today. And on Vayera, I wrote a chapter which I called The Inadvertent Trial of Sodom. The name of the book, by the way, is Healing and Repairing. The Inadvertent Trial of Stone. Now just think about this. God comes down to put Stone on trial, and Avram comes and he prays for at least the innocent people in Stone. He doesn't pray for the guilty. He prays for the innocent. Do you realize that with every prayer that Avraham says, he condemns Stone more? Because Stone wouldn't act that way. Which means what's highlighted here is the distinction between Avraham's tzedakah and Avraham's chesed and Avraham's kindness with the behavior, the barbaric behavior which takes place in Stone. So as Avraham prays, God is essentially saying, this is the person I want to invest in. This is the kind of behavior that we need. And therefore, the same thing is true today. When we compare our behavior with the behavior of the people that we're fighting with, every act of chesed that we do condemns them more. Every single act of kindness that we do condemns them more. And we can be like Avram Avinu and say, we don't want innocent people on the other side to die. It's okay for us to feel that because they don't feel that. They don't think that there any of us are innocent. They don't even have such a concept that any of us are innocent. You can listen to the spokesperson of Hamas when he said, of course we can. He said, we didn't kill any citizens. And in his mindset, they didn't, because we're all settlers. Settlers became something which one, how everyone is a settler. Well, a settler is somebody who lives in the land of Israel. A settler is a Jew who lives any place in the world, which means Avraham is chosen because of chesed And as Avram does chesed, and as Avram does staka, and as Avram is kind, and as Avram prays, every single action that he does condemns the other side even more. And we're going to continue, and we're going to be children of Avram, we're going to be children of Sarah, and we are going to do mishpat, and we're going to do tzedaka, we're going to take care of our soldiers, and we're going to care for all peoples of this world, because that's what Avram does, and there's no contradiction whatsoever. Unfortunately for them, as we care more, their position spiritually becomes more and more diminished. May Kadosh Baruch Hu have a great deal of compassion for all of our people. May all of our soldiers be safe. May all of them come back to their families safe. And may we quickly, quickly end this particular war. And may all of Am Yisrael live in complete peace.